Mike, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good, guys. How are you?
How was your weekend with the rain and everything?
Oh, I managed to get through it, you know.
All right. But yeah, hey, we all did, and it's actually felt like the holidays, felt like Christmas season. All right, let's jump right into it. I like your story that you've got with Tim Tebow talking about motivation in Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. You know, is there that hangover from not winning the SEC championship games? A lot of people think that there is that hangover for teams that don't win their conference championship games. But, you know, what is your take on all of this as far as, you know, playing in a prestigious bowl following a tough loss like Georgia had?
Yeah, you know, that is the challenge. And I'll start out by saying I think DeAndre Baker's decision to play is huge for Georgia in a lot of respects, not just because of the talent he brings, but with the message it sends to the team and, you know, what Kirby's trying to build with younger guys playing for the seniors to send the seniors out right. But as much as anything, you know, I think what Kirby says about there being a lot of young guys and, you know, Georgia's kind of still new to these elite ranks. I mean, it's been a good program for a long time, but, you know, it really hasn't been truly elite on a consistent basis, you know, probably since the Herschel years is the last time you thought about Georgia as a year-in and year-out national championship contender. I know those Pollock years, Georgia would have had a heck of a football team, but as far as just knowing Georgia's going to be there year in and year out, it's been a long time. And I think that's the ranks Georgia's in now. I think Georgia's a top five perennial championship contender. Now, that said, college football has rejected Georgia this year, which is disappointing to me. You know, the committee was cowardice in their act of passing on Georgia. I thought they got ripped off pretty bad. They were clearly one of the four best teams. Everybody knows that. The committee didn't have the guts to make the call. And then I was even more disappointed by the Associated Press All-SEC team. You know, you're telling me there's only one first-team All-SEC guy on Georgia's program, so I don't know. You know, and to be fair to the AP, Paul Newberry, who's one of the best sports writers in the country, you know, he picks these guys to vote. He doesn't, you know, he's only got one vote. I don't even know if he votes himself, but I'd love to see the names on this panel and find out who decided that Georgia only had one first-team All-SEC player. And I also want to know who's voted for this Kentucky coach over Nick Saban or Kirby Smart, because last time I checked, when you lose to Tennessee, that's not too great.
Yeah, it's funny how Coach of the Year is perceived as the guy who – his team did the best under, you know, the lesser projections. And it's like the coaches that win year in and year out and always have great teams, they always seem to kind of get forgotten about in Coach of the Year. It's kind of funny how that award always seems to reward the guy who may have exceeded his expectations a little bit.
Well, you know, look, there's SEC fatigue going on. I mean, Tua was the best college football player all year. You know, and it's like a slap in the face. You know, Georgia, which has, by the way, a top 15 defense, you know, does a good job on them, and they take the Heisman and give it to some guy that scored, you know, 21 points on Army in regulation and then played, you know, all these crappy Big 12 teams all year where every game's like a basketball game, you know. So I got a problem with it. I'm irritated, I guess you guys can tell.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was going to ask you what your thoughts were on the Heisman Trophy, so you're already going into it, so I like it.
Well, I think it's a rip. I mean, it's just, you know, I think we're kissing this guy's ass, and he hasn't done anything. I mean, they didn't beat a top 10 team all year long. Alabama had a historic season. This was the most dominant SEC football team in history. They averaged beating SEC competition by 35 points a game. That has never been done. And Tua was a big reason why. And Georgia goes out there and plays a good game against the guy. So, I mean, it was like people couldn't wait to take it away from Tua. They couldn't wait to hand it to the Oklahoma. They're so sick of the SEC. You know, they can't wait to get Oklahoma in the playoffs. I mean, didn't we just see Georgia and Oklahoma play last year? Didn't we just see Georgia and Notre Dame play last year? And that was the whole thing is just ridiculous, and if you're a Georgia fan, you've got a right to be upset. Those players have a right to be upset. You know, the fact that nobody was, you know, what one guy was first-team All-SEC by the AP is ridiculous. It's flawed. You know, it just, I'm thinking to myself, I've got a lot of respect for other guys in the business, a lot. I do. And I look around the room, and I'm just saying, who are these people that's voting Mark Stoops Coach of the Year? What conversation did I miss? I mean, they had a good start to the season. They beat Florida. Okay, that's great. But they lost at home against Georgia with a chance to win the East, and it wasn't even a close game. Georgia took them apart. They humbled them. Then they went out the next week and laid an egg and cost himself a New Year's Six Bowl against a Tennessee team that lost by, what, 20 or 30 points to Vanderbilt? I mean, I fail to see the magic in Kentucky. Forgive me, but the team I saw on the field did not look like the second or even third best team in the East. I thought Missouri was better than Kentucky. And if you go back and look, Kentucky was really fortunate to beat Missouri. So, again, you know, it's a fatigue thing. People are tired of Alabama. And people don't want to see Georgia assume this mantle. They don't, and they're in denial. I mean, think about this. One Georgia guy made All-SEC, first team. One. One guy on the first team. Are you kidding me, Sam?
David Johnston, Logan Booker along with you this morning as we talk with Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Mike, it's now been 9 days since Georgia lost in pretty much heartbreaking fashion against Alabama. But at some point, and I've thought this for since it happened, that Georgia fans will kind of turn the corner and realize that you just went toe-to-toe with that historic team that you just referenced, that Alabama that beat all those teams by 35 points. At what point do you think maybe even the players themselves and Georgia fans will start talking about that game as a, hey, look at us, as opposed to, my God, it happened again?
Well, I mean, I understand the frustration, I do, but look, Georgia is a perennial powerhouse now. There's really only a few teams we can say that about. I mean, I don't even know if we can say it about Ohio State after Urban Meyer leaves, right? That's a big question mark now. They got questions without Urban Meyer. I mean, that guy's a great football coach. And, you know, say what you want about the politics, and I don't pretend to know, which I don't know why anybody else pretends to know. I mean, that's another thing. You know, Twitter, everybody's an expert. Look, I don't know. I'm a sports reporter. I'm connected. I know people that cover the team. I don't have enough information to make a decision on whether he's a bad person. And shame on the USA Today's Nancy Armour for saying there's a difference between a good coach and a good man. That's where I say there's a difference between being a good sports writer and being a good person. I mean, who is this woman to judge? This woman told us a few years ago that Jim Harbaugh owned college football. I mean, how preposterous. And now she's going to cast judgment on Urban Meyer. Like I said, I'm a little frustrated with the whole Twitter world and Twitter experts. And, you know, I'm a big believer that you know what you know, and more importantly, you've got to know what you don't know. And if you're a Georgia fan right now, what you should know is that Kirby Smart has delivered, and he's brought Georgia to national prominence on an annual basis, and it doesn't look like they're going anywhere. They got 68% of the roster that are freshmen and sophomores. Those guys came a long way this year. That front seven at the start of the year, you guys heard me call them out. They were suspect. They got exposed against LSU, and they went out and got better. And then they went out there and played Alabama off their heels. I mean, I was so impressed with Georgia. I couldn't believe it. The way those guys played football and balled out and the plays that were being made, and, you know, you don't understand why things happen, but sometimes they do. And there was magic in the air when Jalen Hurts came off the bench. You don't want to think you knocked the starter out, the next guy's going to beat you. But even more importantly, I think DeAndre Walker got hurt and young Brenton Cox got beat on the perimeter, which he did earlier this year. One of your freshmen, one of your five stars that didn't learn the contain lesson, and it cost you. And that'll be a lesson for Cox moving forward. That's Tom. You know, he's the guy that lost contain on the Jalen Hurts scramble and touchdown. That's who he is to me right now. And he's got an offseason to get better and try and win a starting job. But when DeAndre Walker went out, that was really a key, I thought, even more so than Hurts.
Now, you mentioned a second ago you think that the college football world is sort of reluctant to accept that Georgia is, you know, arriving on this in the conversation with teams like Alabama. But looking ahead to the Sugar Bowl, what is the importance of Georgia winning that game? What ramifications will there be if Georgia wins or loses? I know you think they'll get up for it and play for it, but what exactly is on the line for Georgia in New Orleans on New Year's Day?
Well, I mean, it's the whole standard. I mean, it's what Kirby preaches every day. I mean, Kirby talks and the players talk about playing to a certain standard. Now, you know, everybody talks about it. It sure sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, I can say, you know what, I'm going to perform to a certain standard every day. But am I going to do it? Well, you'd say, well, your actions will define that. So we're going to find out, you know, just what this team's all about as far as whether they really play up to the standard or if they only play good when, you know, when it's convenient for them. Like I said, that's why the DeAndre Baker decision was telling. I mean, you got Will Grier at West Virginia, that quarterback saying, I'm out, guys. That program needs him. You know, that program took him in after he had that embarrassing issue at Florida. West Virginia took him in and treated him like a king. And now the program needs him, and he's like, I'm out, you know? So Baker's decision to play says a lot about, one, Baker, but two, what Kirby's selling, players are buying. And this is what it takes. This is what it takes to have a special program. And listen, you know, this is a long way off, but I saw it at Michigan State. Now, here's the difference. Michigan State doesn't have players like Georgia. Mark D'Antonio doesn't have players like Georgia. He doesn't. But as far as the buy-in, there's no way Michigan State should be as competitive as they were that 3 years when they were top 10. That was all about buy-in. That was all about guys leaving it on the field every single game and focus. And I'm seeing the same thing with Kirby's team. And so this is a way for, you know, these guys to play for each other, to send their seniors out for a win. You know, if DeAndre Baker's coming back to win this game, this is where the underclassmen got to say, look, you know, Baker could be on a beach somewhere right now and running 60s every day for the combine. And he decided to put it on the line for the program. We owe it to send Baker out right. We owe it to send Ledbetter out right. You know, we owe it to send, you know, this incredible center, Galliard, out right. You know, that have given their best, that came in under a different head coach and bought into the system. And this is where Jake Fromm steps up as a leader. And then finally, the other motivation, and I've said it all year, there's competition on this team. You want to take bowl week off? Okay. We'll see where you're at on the depth chart come next September. So, you know, there's not time to take time off at Georgia because there is so much talent. So I think it's you put all those things together, and I think you're going to see a pissed-off team beat Texas. I really do. And Texas is going down there with something to prove. I mean, if they were to beat Georgia, you know, they want to get in that conversation. We saw Auburn last year. Auburn lose to UCF. So when you do lose the championship game, it's tough. So it's going to be a test for Kirby and his staff, and it's going to be a test for these players. But I think the more they chew on it, I think the madder they're going to get, and the more they're going to realize that they've still got something to prove.
Mike, if you have any, what are your thoughts on Tech hiring Jeff Collins from Temple?
Dangerous hire. Dangerous hire. Guy wants to run the same style of offense as Georgia. You know, he's already thrown down the gauntlet, which is smart for him. You know, I know I referenced Michigan State earlier. I'll give you a little bit more. I don't know if you know this, but at Michigan State, they have a countdown clock to the Michigan game in like six rooms, and it's on year round. There's no other countdown clock. There's no other Ohio State week or Indiana. It's on Michigan time. Countdown to the Michigan game. And one time I took the back exit through there, and Pat Narduzzi, who was then the defensive coordinator, now the head coach at Pitt, said, what are you doing with that blue, you know, bad word on? And I said, He goes, yeah, but you walk in these back hallways? Ain't no blue in these hallways, buddy. You go out the front entrance. I mean, he was serious. This was not a joke. By the way, Michigan State's been Michigan 8 out of 11 years now with that mentality. So the fact that this guy's come in, throw down the gauntlet, the fact that he's recruiting the same type of players, you know, this puts Georgia in the game. I mean, you know, the whole deal with them running the option, it was kind of a pain because you had to prepare for it. It was extra preparation time every week. It took a toll. It was a dangerous game. You know, now the flip side is, okay, you don't necessarily have to prepare for this unconventional offense every year, but now you've got to recruit against this guy. You know, and he might be able to find the right kid and say, hey, you want to play right away, you know. But I guess realistically, those kids aren't the ones going to Georgia now anyway. The ones that are coming to Georgia right now with Kirby, the way this train's rolling, are guys that want to win championships. Georgia Tech's still a long way off from that.
Mike, thanks, buddy. Good talking to you. We will catch you again next week. Thanks.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com.